Oh my God, is this? Oh, I love this. You know I'm all over this, like stink on.
Hold on. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. By the way, that you were asking about what that film clip is, Bud. That's from the 40s. That's a very interesting piece of stock footage in color that we use on our video cast here every night. We have a variety of different bits of film that we show behind you, behind me on the green screen. And there's an area where you can find old stock footage from Hollywood movies and things, or just stock footage for whatever reason. And this was a piece of footage that is in color, and it's driving through the streets of Los Angeles sometime in the 40s. And it's an amazing little bit of documentary footage, actually. It was shot by a studio, so they would have it as background or as fill for whatever it was they were shooting. But what you're left with after, God, 60, 70 years is this gorgeous look at an American city. A slice of what an American city looked like in the 40s, the storefronts, the architecture, the neon, the style, you know, the architectural style, the cars, the people.
Well, and what did you say about the past is a foreign country? They do things differently there.
Yes, I remember. That's a very great quote, Phil. Where'd you hear that?
I don't know. I forget.
What's it mean?
Bud, don't start, okay?
What do you mean, what it mean, man? It means that it's foreign and everything.
Well, yeah, but... Don't even start with me, man, okay? The past is it's a metaphor. You know, it's the past is a foreign country. They do things differently. Meaning, if you look at the past, you recognize the people and you recognize the life, but you can't really communicate with them unless you, first of all, are aware of the environment you're in. And I think that that's a great quote because it tells us before, if you go to a foreign country, the first thing you have to do is learn to speak the language. What you have to do is learn the culture, is what you have to do. You have to learn how are they talking. What words do they use for the things that I recognize? For a food, for a car, for a train, for plane. What words are they using? And as you become conversant with them, you understand them. And when you understand them, then you become more knowledgeable of them. So if you want to know about the past, you have to first recognize that it is like a foreign country. You have to first understand what is the language they're speaking. You know, 60, 70, 80 years ago, those are human beings just like us. They had children. They loved their wives and their husbands. They went to work. They did all the things that we do, but they did it in a different social language, in a different political and cultural language than the one we speak today. Even Americans. So we can go back 80 years in America, take people from today and transplant them 80 years back in this country, we'd have a very difficult time sort of navigating. Not that it would be impossible, but we would expect certain things that wouldn't be there. We'd have ways of communicating that people would be staring at us like we're something from another planet, which in essence we are. The things that concern people then, the things that worried people, the things that people paid attention to were completely different. There's certain things you didn't even say in those days that today we say all the time. We talk and just behave differently. So that's what it means, okay? All right. We have Steve Bozell. Doug Danger we got rid of, didn't we? Or did he hang up? Or what happened to Doug Danger?
Well, you hung up on him when you found out that we conspired with him to say that the topic was dull as...
Yeah, as dull as watching paint either stay wet or dry, depending upon the weather.
That's pretty good, General.
Thank you. Well, you know something, Henry? I haven't heard you do anything tonight that tops that, so when you do, you let me know. In the meantime, I'm going to be over here, you know, taking my socks off and giving myself a foot massage, if you don't mind.
I'd rather you not do that in here, please.
General, don't do that.
Don't do what?
Don't take your shoes off in here. Oh, God.
Yeah, you better go outside, General.
I can take my... I'm giving myself a foot... Well, what the hell?
Go out and... all right, Steve Bozell with us. This coming weekend, as we mentioned, we'll have back the game of the week. All right, Steve, so, you know, we've kind of cut loose Joe Dickhead and the professor. At least we haven't cut them loose, but we've given them a little bit of a leave because they've been carving it left and right. And
I heard that. Joe Dickhead and the professor, they're totally butchered up, and I can only hope that... I don't even know how those guys... Did they ever make money?
I think so, when they were in Vegas and they weren't on the radio. Maybe the whole thing is being on the radio.
Yeah, it's probably what little fame they got out of that probably butchered it up, but I'm glad we're back on the radio.
See, I liked your play-by-play, and you guys have gone from doing straight play-by-play to this kind of visual commentary, this Mystery Science 3. I don't think I...
You'd rather hear me do the play-by-play.
Yeah, I do, but the problem is you got into trouble, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Well, that to me was not... That never should have been the big thing that it did become.
Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, because I didn't mean it racial, you know.
You're talking about Rogers Cromartie, right?
Yeah. What happened was it was a Cleveland game. It was Cleveland and Dallas or whoever played Rogers Cromartie. It was Dallas and Baltimore, I think. And anyway, whoever Rogers Cromartie plays cornerback position for.
I got to look it up, man. I'm not, I'm not that conversant either. I forget. I remember the game, though.
Yeah, well, what happened was the Browns were, I don't know who, Kirk Cousins plays for somebody. Who the hell were those teams anyway? Kirk Cousins plays. It might have been Dallas versus the Toronto Argonauts.
The Toronto Argonauts?
No, not them. But and anyway, Kirk Cousins threw a pick six to Rogers Cromartie at the tail end of the game, and Cousins had come in relief because the quarterback he was replaced got injured. Now, Kirk Cousins tosses one into the flat. Long comes Rogers Cromartie, picks it off, and Rogers Cromartie starts taking off for the end zone. Now, the only thing between Rogers Cromartie and the end zone is a whole lot of green. Okay, that's just a whole lot of green, man. And I'll tell you, if you're a quarterback in a situation like that, you don't even want to – I mean, if it was me, I would have dropped to one knee and just, you know –
Boy, you get emotional over another guy's interception, huh?
Well, I played high school football, Mr. Henry, and I remember throwing a pick just like that. I dropped to my knee, and I put my head down, and I wept. And they came over and said, you know, buck up, Steve. And I wept, and I went to the sideline. I continued weeping. I don't think I stopped weeping.
Why do you call it weeping?
I'm sorry?
Why are you saying you wept and you were weeping?
Because that's what I was... What are you talking about? I mean, that's what I did. I wept. It was a bitter, bitter loss. All you can do is weep.
So you cried?
No, sir. I wept.
Yeah, see, so there is a difference, huh?
Yeah, there most certainly is, because what happened was I threw an interception and went the other way for 6 points that basically we got beat. And so I wept I just wept like a woman. I mean,
Well, the memory of it is obviously causing you some problems, and I don't want to do that, you know.
No, but what I'm trying to say is Kirk Cousins threw a pick six, went the other way. Now, what happened was Rogers Cromartie picks it off on his way down end zone, and Kirk Cousins takes off after him. And, of course, that's what you should do. And if you've got a shot, I didn't have a shot at tackling one guy. I did the very thing you should do. If you don't have a shot at tackling the guy, the only thing you can do is drop to one knee or two knees. That almost looks like you're praying, but drop to a knee at least and weep, and so that people will see that you really are concerned that you threw the interception.
Wait a minute, man. If I saw a guy drop to one knee and weep after throwing an interception that went the other way for six, and he didn't even make an effort at running after the guy to tackle him, I would not have any sympathy for that guy.
Well, Mr. Henry, that makes you very rare.
Well, and so, I wonder, is there any research on this, Steve? Because I'm sort of with Phil on this.
Well, no, there is. You can look up some of the research that has been done. I've read it to mean people would rather see you weep, even if you weep like a bitch, you know, rather than...
Weep like a what?
Like a bitch.
He said weep like a bitch.
Even if you weep like a bitch.
Not Mr. Henry, I didn't go, even if you weep like a bitch. I didn't yell it out, man. I'm trying to say.
Well, look, Steve, this is ridiculous. This is General Shaw, and you're acting the fool here. If you don't take off and try to make the tackle, of course people are going to think you're a real ass. Sorry, my throat dries up.
I understand.
All right, hold on. I want to get into this a little bit more. We're with Steve Bozell, as the return of Game of the Week happens this weekend on the Phil Henry website at Phil TV in HD. It'll be Steve along with Bud Dickman calling the 1:30 Sunday afternoon game as we kick off the holiday. And throughout the week, there will be various video cast events on Phil TV. Make sure that you're over on the homepage and you can see the posts, the various posts that we will post to keep you posted of the post. See what I'm saying?
Yes, that's great.
Anyway, check that out, and it'll be great. All right, we'll be right back here with more from Steve Bozell as we talk about the Game of the Week and this interesting concept of weeping like a bitch when you throw a pick. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. With me is Steve Bozell, who this Sunday will be back at it on Phil TV and HD with Bud Dickman as they are doing the Game of the Week, football game of the week. Football is a very special sport. We enjoy it here on the Phil Henry Show, the world of Phil Henry. Also, you know, I've been getting into this soccer, Steve. Not that we're going to have any of that on Phil TV, but I am splitting my time now between my Sundays between soccer and American football.
Well, you know, the Premier League on the Barclays Premier League is what it's called, has been very popular, and I think that's more to the point. It's not so much Americans are taking to it. You got a lot of English people that live in America now in the entertainment business and finance, and they want to see how their team is doing, and they don't always have access, I guess, to the different British TV shows. The British have a channel called Sky Sports.
Yes, Sky News and Sky Sports. That's their.
Is that a network?
It's what is it, Steve? Is it a separate network?
Yeah, it's a network, but I think it's mostly a news channel, and then they have the sports. But if you don't have that on your cable company, then you're in a world of hurt. You got to go find.
Well, one of the things that I noticed this year is NBC Sports. Which is a separate cable channel. I enjoy that. I like what CBS has done and NBC has done. They have separate sports channels, and NBC carries not only the Barclays Premier League, the British soccer, but they also carried the Canadian Football League, the Grey Cup game, which, you know, every year was either hit or miss on American television.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're going to do it again next year. It seems to me like they ought to carry that game. Seems to stands to reason there'd be a... I never could figure out why ESPN, which is a sports channel, how come they didn't do it. But, hey, you know, I don't know.
Well, Canadian football is Canadian football. It's not the most popular sport down here, but it's a mid-season big game that American fans can watch and enjoy. Okay, Steve is with us. We're talking about the return, as I say, of the Game of the Week. Let's get back to this Rogers-Cromartie thing, because you said it ties in with the Duck Dynasty thing, right?
Yeah.
What were you doing? It ties in with the Duck. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have mentioned.
Yeah, we don't have to just every weird thing that I do. Can we just keep our commentary to a minimum?
Well, Phil, can I just jump in?
No. Hold on. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Phil, you went at the like that.
Yeah, dude, can we comment on that?
No. Keep your commentary about how weird I am to a minimum. I don't say every little thing you guys. Well, I guess I do.
Yes, you do, Phil. You're always pointing out how someone sounds like they have epilepsy or something.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, you guys do. If I say anything, if I lisp, if I stumble over a word, the next thing you know, I have a brain lesion, and you guys, man.
Yeah, well, if you want to live in my house, Bill, I mean, every day my kids are on me. Hey, Dad, do you have a brain lesion? Hey, Dad, do you have a brain tumor? Hey, Dad, follow my finger, you know. I mean, my kids, as a gag, every day try to get me to take a field sobriety, as a gag, try to get me to do a field sobriety test. And I told them.
A field sobriety test?
Yeah, as a gag. They'll say, okay, Dad, walk in a straight line, lift the leg up, all that. And I said, you know, one of these days, I'm going to do what a lot of drunks do, and I'm going to take off running and do all that. And they're like, yeah, okay, so what? I said, well, then why don't... And then I just walk away, you know, because I realize there's no winning it.
All right, so, okay, great. Thank you very much for that. Now we want to talk...
Well, I was trying to be interesting.
Yeah, that's great. It was fantastic.
Well, he knows you're lying.
Yeah, I do know you're lying. And that hurts a little bit, but I can move on. if that's what you want to do.
Yes, I would like to move on, and I'm sorry that it hurts.
You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be a big thing.
No. God, man.
Well, what, are you two guys going to quit holding hands and move on here with it?
I'm trying to move on with the interview.
Yeah, well, then do it.
Don't tell me to do it. I'll do it when I want to do it.
But Mr. Henry, you stuck it in my back and broke it off.
No, I did not. No, I did. Let's just stop and let's move on from this point forward onto the interview. Okay, now I'm talking about Rogers Cromartie and Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, all right. So Rogers Cromartie was the quarterback, and he's white. No, Rogers Cromartie was a black defensive back. He intercepts Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a black man, and he's chasing another black.
Kirk Cousins is white.
Yeah, that was it. Rogers Cromartie picked off Kirk Cousins. Now he's taking off for the end zone, and Kirk Cousins chasing him down. And Cromartie did a little high-stepping kind of excessive celebration thing. It wasn't excessive, but he did a little celebrating before he even got to the goal line. And he's pulling away from Cousins, because Cousins is a quarterback. Quarterbacks don't have speed, and this guy, Rogers Cromartie, is off to the races. And what I said was, Rogers Cromartie is pick six, Kirk Cousins, and Cromartie is now he's doing some excessive celebration, and Cousins is a white man. And the reason why I said that is I thought that, I mean, Kirk Cousins might have taken offense at a black guy picking him off and then going, ooh, you know, dancing and everything, and Cousins is white. See, in certain circles.
This ought to be good to see how you get out of this.
No, there's nothing to get out of, ma'am.
Well, what are you saying?
In certain circles, if a black guy picks off a white quarterback and starts to do a dance and celebrating, people are going to say, man, wow, you know, look at him shoving it right into that white boy's face. That's, you know.
In certain circles, huh?
Yes, sir. I mean, I'm not saying, not the Ku Klux Klan, but.
Well, you know what? I in a lot of ways, I understand what Steve's saying. So Rogers Cromartie picking off Kirk Cousins and doing that dance, for some people, not a lot of people, it probably is insulting because that's a black guy dancing in the face of a... But why would that be insulting?
Because I think that traditionally for some people, they think, wow, you know, that guy's a black guy. You know, ordinarily back in the day, he'd be, you know, maybe driving the car for that guy. Now look at him, he's all, hey, doing, you know.
See, that's the racism right there.
Well...
Not really.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, I only got one question to ask you, Steve. Is that how you feel?
No, I don't feel that way. I just got done telling you. Oh, God, don't put me in that I'm just saying, in certain circles.
Well, is this a circle that you would travel in, or is it a circle that you would walk in a...
Would you walk in a circle? No, would you?
Would you, yes, would you travel in a circle?
Is this a circle that you would travel in?
What circle?
Did the people... You know.
No, but I do know people like that, yeah. And they would go, like, I shouldn't say, but my next-door neighbor, Roy Hutchins, you know?
Yeah.
Roy is the kind of guy, he goes, wow, can you believe that? And that's a white man, you know, and...
Yes, but Roy Hutchins didn't say that, Steve. You did. That's why we're having this discussion.
I can assure you that was not my attitude, okay? God, man, are you kidding me?
So, in other words... similar to Duck Dynasty, how?
Well, I mean that guy, the Duck Dynasty guy. He said a thing. He said, "Well, I never saw a black person mistreated, and here's an example of not only is it not a black guy being mistreated, but a white guy is kind of getting mistreated because the guy's sticking he's sticking his nose in it." And
you call that being mistreated?
Well,
not really.
Okay, he's a quarterback. He got intercepted. He got picked, and not only did that interception happen, it was returned for a touchdown. That's about as bad as it gets in the closing minutes of a football game that you've been brought into to replace the starting quarterback who has been injured, and now there you are trying to get the offense started, and what do? You throw an interception, it goes the other way for a touchdown. No wonder you're saying that you would go to one knee and weep, Steve. I think I would, too.
I like that. See, that's my point. That was my essential point. And the only reason why I brought up Duck Dynasty is that I'm trying to show you how a guy like Duck Dynasty, what he'd think, you know.
Is that the guy's name?
No, it's Phil Robertson.
I thought his name was Duck Dynasty. It's Phil Robertson. And
you might think it's Duck Dynasty.
Because that could be a superhero. Not a superhero, but that could be I don't know.
All right, hold the line, or maybe just go away.
That is very rude, Phil.
All right, I'm sorry. Hold the line. What a load of time we wasted on that. You know, about the whether or not it's racist, whether or not it's this, whether or not it's that. It's unbelievable.
Well, I think that it behooves, all right, it behooves discussion to find out if indeed the Duck, Duck Dynasty is similar to the, what is that?
It's the bumper music. We're going out, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. I think it means that, you know, it's not... it is a little racist to say, wow, he's a white man, you know?
Well, yes, I agree with that.
Great. But bad as he started to weep. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Steve Bozell with us here from his home in Corona, California. And we'll take some phone calls that we do have on the line with us, Brad Rifkin from Las Vegas tonight. And this is an interesting thing. Brad's going to give us a little background, I think, on Joe Dickhead. Brad, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Joe. Thank you.
And Steve, you're still there, right?
Yeah, I'm still here. Are we talking football, or are we going to talk about Dickhead?
I'll do anything anybody wants me to do. I just wanted to, I was calling up, actually, Steve. I want to say that I appreciate your efforts at doing play-by-play. I think that you're wrong, though, that when you say you would rather drop to one knee and weep, I think it's understandable that you would want to drop to one knee and weep if you threw an interception and went the other way for a touchdown. But I don't think it's going to make you look good.
I'm sorry. Did you ever play quarterback for any team on a football field?
No, I have not. But I'm a better. And
well, you're a better. You know.
Now look, we can argue this until the cows come home. Steve, you feel that's the way to go. That's the way to go. Brad, what were you going to say about Joe Dickhead?
Joe Dickhead. I don't know if you noticed or not. Joe Dickhead.
You want me to stick around or should I hang up?
No, you can stick around. I mean, this is what the caller wants to talk about.
No, but I was talking about me. You know, I don't get much of a chance.
Steve, I've been sitting here on hold listening to you talking about your life. You know, I thought I was going to hear about football, and instead I'm hearing about how you weep and cry.
Excuse me, sir. I was talking about how I dropped to one knee and weep after an interception, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but it's all about how you're justifying your existence and you're weeping and you're Mr. Henry, and also the play-by-play that you're doing, and how it's not racist, and you sound like the biggest redneck I ever heard, okay?
Well, all right, you sound like you come from... God, man, you sound like you come from Italian...
Italian what? I'm Jewish. Does that help you out?
Well, you're Jewish?
Yeah.
How come you sound Italian?
What is this guy talking about?
Well, look, Brad called up to make a point that is very much connected. It's about football betting. Go ahead, Brad.
Thank you, Phil. Joe Dickhead was well known here on the Strip for a number of years. He had a place called Both Hands Sportsbook. And the Both Hands Sportsbook...
Why did he call it Both Hands?
Well, he called it Both Hands Sportsbook because he felt that bettors and tourists that wanted to lay a bet for a sporting event, we're tired of these sportsbook places that couldn't find it, as he used to say, they couldn't find it with both hands. So he called his Both Hands Sportsbook to denote that you could find it with both hands, I guess. I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Doesn't make any sense to me either. Whatever. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was Joe. But he had this sportsbook. And it was a very, very popular place for about 6 months because he got hammered. I mean, he was getting hammered alive.
So he was just paying out.
Yeah, I mean, he's paying out every week. Big money, too. Huge amounts of money. Huge. I mean, that's how bad the guy was. And so Both Hands Sportsbook got a reputation around town as the place where Joe couldn't find it with both hands. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's the mistake you made. That's the mistake. That's the risk that he takes, naming it both hands, because that pretty soon somebody's going to say, no, it ain't the other guy that can't find it with both hands.
Yeah, it's you that can't find it with both hands.
Not me. I'm talking about him.
That's who I'm talking about. I'm talking about him. I'm not talking about you.
That's what you said, so...
No, he didn't, Steve. Take it easy, will you, man? He's giving an example of something.
I don't know if you were listening or not, Brad, but I took it pretty hard. You know, they were giving it to me pretty good. And I didn't see anybody putting lube on it.
Okay, can we not have that kind of conversation?
I've been sitting here very quietly, and I don't know anything about sports, so that's why I haven't said anything. But as soon as I heard that no lube thing, I knew, Steve, you are as predictable as the sun coming up in the east. There is every time you're on this program.
Wait, what? Hold on. What am I predictable about?
I know sooner or later you're going to talk about somebody giving it to you dry.
Wow, boy, that's... Woo!
Well... What's wrong?
I mean, are you kidding me? She comes right out and says that?
Hey, look, if she understands, if that's what she... Talk about being able to fight it with both hands. If Ms. Gray knows it's that what's going to happen, why can't she say it?
What? What did you just say?
I said if she knows...
If she knows what's going to happen, why can't she say it?
Because that embarrasses me and every buddy that I'm associated with.
So anyway, Phil, as I was saying, this guy, Joe Dickhead, had a very popular sports book. He got his ass kicked for about 6-7 months and paid out. It was just like every week. And finally, he got out of the business. Next thing I hear, he's turned up on your show with Joe Dickhead and the professor.
So this guy has got no track record of being able to call or pick football games.
Not that I ever saw, no. No, and that's why I say Both Hands Sportsbook wound up being known as the place where Joe couldn't find it with both hands. And the funny side note is guys would walk in there as they hit the door. It was considered good luck to walk in with your hands, both your hands covering your rear end or grabbing your rear end, see, like you're finding it. And a couple of guys then got even crazier, and they would walk in with sunglasses on, staring at the ceiling like they're Stevie Wonder, and they're grabbing their asses. And
so in other words, they're coming into this guy's sports book and mocking him.
That's exactly right. I used to say to them, I said to one guy, Billy French, who was a friend of mine, and Billy was the guy that started the whole seeing eye dog and sunglasses and squeezing your own rear end with both hands. I said, Billy, he's going to get so angry at all of this.
Are you telling me what? So they're already sticking it in and breaking it off? And now they're coming in with what? Both hands squeezing their own ass?
Yeah, I mean, because the guy called his sports book Both Hands, you know.
I know, I understand that.
So Joe walked right into that. I mean, here's Joe saying Both Hands sports book, where if you're tired of these sports book places that can't find it with both hands, come into my parlor. And the next thing you know, he's getting his ass hammered. And so the guys would walk in there, you know.
Slow down.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I heard that. I can't believe the gall of some people.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, Steve, but that's what happened. But I told Billy French, I said, look, you keep doing that, and he's just going to close this place up. It's bad enough he's getting his ass kicked every week. But you guys walking in here like it's a payday, and you're laughing about it, and you got sunglasses on and a seeing eye dog, and you're looking at the ceiling doing the Stevie Wonder stare.
What's the Stevie Wonder stare?
You know, you're staring up, baby. Ain't you ever seen Stevie Wonder?
Sometimes Stevie Wonder or people who are visually impaired they're casting their eyes maybe up toward the light, you know.
Light? What? It sounds like a man's on a gurney.
No, man. I'm not talking about a gurney. He's talking about the way that they... Have you ever seen Stevie Wonder?
No, but then again, he's never seen me. Okay.
What are you doing, man? Are you trying out your stand-up act?
I didn't understand that.
You didn't understand that. You say, have you ever seen Stevie Wonder? And I said, no, but then again, he's never seen me.
Yeah, I know. That's a joke, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, but I didn't know we were stopping down to do jokes. I thought you wanted to know about...
Let's finish up, and then we can do jokes.
Yeah, okay.
I'm saying that Billy and his friends would come in with the seeing eye cane. One guy even rented a dog. Another guy had a tin cup.
Okay, so in other words, they're blind and they can't find it with both hands, but there they are holding on to their ass with both hands. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, they really beat the joke into the ground, you know.
And I tell a little tiny joke, and you guys are saying, yeah.
Steve, this is not about your joke. This is not about your joke. This is about Joe Dickhead and the and you know, it, just allow us to have. I want to find out more about this, and we'll get back to you in the football game, okay?
Fine.
Right. So anyway, Joe finally couldn't take it, and he closed the place up. That was 6-8 months into Both Hands sports book.
Did he sell it, or is it gone?
It's gone. It's gone. It was a little strip mall down from the Four Corners, right there near the Four Corners, but it's gone now. On the edge of the desert, you know, and Joe used to say we got our backs to the wide open spaces and our face to the, you know, we got our face to Vegas and our backs to the wide open spaces. And I used to say, what does that mean? And he'd say, it means that, you know, it's something pie. And I'd say, you know, yeah, but your face is to Vegas, which means, guess what? If you're going to take, you know, if anything's going to be taken off the face, you got your face. And he was very upset with that, you know.
He's talking about taking one off the chin?
I said, if you take one off the chin, you sure as hell will, because your face is...
You guys with this take one off the chin, I got to tell you, it's reaching an art form around here, okay? Thank you very much, Joe, for that update. I appreciate it.
What do you mean it's reaching an art form? I'm just saying, the guy...
Well, all right. Was this an advertising slogan of some kind?
That sounds like you come up with it as an advertising slogan, right?
Yeah, no, he would say, we are the sports book with our back to the wide open spaces and our face full on to Vegas.
And somebody said, well, that's good enough for you to take one off the chin.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, it sounds to me like Joe's experience in Vegas was one big, fat, just, you know.
Facial.
What an animal.
I'm sorry, Phil. I
Man, oh, man, and you're telling me I'm not allowed to.
I apologize, Phil.
Thanks. Yeah, sure you do. Thanks a lot.
Oh, I swear to God, I do.
All right, we're going to take another break here and be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't know what it is with some of these people. Do they think that I got nothing better to do here than hit dump buttons and go ape like that?
Well, I think they believe that the times are far more liberal, Phil, you know.
Well, isn't that nice? But no, they ain't. All right, we're going to come right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. A vacation time is coming up. We're going to fill you in on what's ahead here with a few video events as well as just other stuff that's ahead on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
I'm Margaret Gray, and I asked Phil to play this as the bumper music into this segment because this is an example of... See right there, Phil?
Yeah, I hate that.
I'm sorry?
That whole whatever that instrument is, I despise it.
Well, this is an example of a young lady who took it upon her. You don't like that?
No, that whole whatever that music is.
A young lady that took it upon her. Never mind. Turn the music off. Turn the garbage off. Turn that garbage down, please.
Turn the garbage down. I love that about you, Margaret.
Well, you ruined the mood, Phil.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say that Tina Marie is an example of a young woman, self-made, a great singer. She passed on 2 years ago. She would have been 56 now, Phil. I think she passed on 2 years ago. That would have made her 50.
She's 50. She would have been 56 2 years ago.
I'm sorry, 54.
53.
Shut up, bud, because if you don't...
But we got it, bud. 54. Okay.
Yes, and a very, very talented singer. And that song, Lover Girl, I just want to be... And there's a point where she does this soulful wail where she goes, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah. She screeches like an animal, but it works. I love that so much.
Then why did you say turn that garbage down?
Because when you... I beg your pardon?
You told me to turn the garbage down.
When you are interrupting me, it suddenly goes from music that I absolutely bless and has kept me alive and happy for many years. It goes from that to a high-pitched tone that's tearing... Oh, God.
Well, if it's that emotional, Margaret...
No, it just... It turns into a high-pitched tone that is literally tearing brain tissue apart. I don't know how to explain it.
I think that's very interesting, you know.
Yeah.
See, here's, ladies and gentlemen, this is where Phil can't let it go. He's got to just... Let's talk about this and embarrass Margaret to pieces. Let's just do that.
No, when you say, this song is fantastic, I love this song, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, or whatever the hell it was that you said, and then you say, now it's just ripping brain tissue apart. I don't understand that. I really don't.
Play the music, bud.
What?
Play the music that I just was talking. Tina Marie, play it. Play it. Thank you. Now, this is really, isn't she exuberant? Woo! I love the exuberance.
It's very nice. I mean, she's a...
Well, you don't know anything about soul music, do you?
I guess not.
What don't you like? Turn it off, will you, bud, just a minute? Would you turn that crap? What are you laughing at?
I just think it's funny. You go from saying it's a great song, turn that crap off.
What don't you like about this?
I think, to me, there was a period of music in the 80s and a little bit, that it was all kind of technoed up, and I don't know. I agree, Tina Marie had a great voice. There's no question. And there were a lot of singers, but it moved away from soul to some kind of, it was like a Hollywood soul or something. I don't know how to... It was like, Dance Fever soul or something. Yeah, Dance Fever.
Dance Fever? What does that mean?
Yeah, it stinks.
Oh, it stinks. Well, there's Bud Dickman. Hey! I want you to hear something here, Bud. Cue it up to 30 seconds in when I would ordinarily do my layout and my heel to toe, Bud.
Yeah, okay.
All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2. Where is it? Did you cue the music up, Bud?
Yeah, right to the spot you wanted.
No, you didn't. Turn it down and let's do it again. Would you turn that garbage can swill? What?
Nothing.
Well, yes, it is garbage. It's good now because I can't hear it, and when I'm singing to it, it's wonderful. But if it's interrupting something that I want to say, it is literally thick, greasy lard from the end of a inner side of a... Here.
From the inner side of a...
Of a garbage can. Here we go. This is it here. Listen to this. All right, now, here. 2, 3, and... That's where I would do my little pirouette, and then I spin again. Then I go, woo, to the audience, and I do jazz hands.
Yeah?
Turn it off.
Margaret.
No, turn it off. Would you turn that decomposing flesh off?
Now it's decomposing flesh.
Damn, man, every time you turn it down.
You're ruining it, Phil.
A minute ago, it was swill and garbage, and it was like the lard from the inside of a can. Now it's just rotting flesh. That's what it is.
Yes, I'm trying to make a point.
What was the point you were making?
This is the dance that I'm going to do at the Wintertacular, okay? I've been invited to do a dance. I'm a singer, yes, and everyone loves my voice. Great, fine, wonderful. God, it gets so tiring and sickening if all they ever want you to do is sing because they are in love with your voice. And yes, I'm a great singer, I understand. But I've never been asked to dance before, and Bobby asked me to dance, so I'm dancing to this, if you don't mind. All right, Bud, if you'll do the honors. 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 3, and go. Now I'm spinning. I go, woo, just like that. Now I'm doing the cabbage patch. Now I'm doing Running Man. Now I do a football kick, 2 football kicks. I bend over, grab my ankles, and now 2, 3, and go. Oh, no, it's all wrong. Turn it off. Would you turn the stench of that dead body? That's not a song. That's a rotting corpse in John Wayne Gacy's...
Will you come on, Margaret?
What?
Now it's a rotting corpse in John Wayne Gacy's what?
Cellar.
Oh, that's great. Here is a woman that you love. Her music's fantastic. She's a great singer. The poor little thing, she died too early. The song's great. You're going to do anything. But when you got something to say and the music's up, it's a rotting corpse in John Wayne Gacy's...
I'm not going to put up with this. I'll be outside sucking on a...
Watch it.
A white owl, if anybody wants me.
What'd she say?
How can I not laugh at that, Margaret?
On a white owl.
Well, Phil, She's a singer. She's a temperamental artist, and I think you need to understand that.
What's to understand? I don't understand. What are you talking about? I need to understand what? She loves the song, but if all of a sudden, Bud, turn it down, would you turn down that stinking rock? I'm telling you, man, there's something got to be wrong with somebody like that. That's just my opinion. All right. We have the forthcoming week a number of things that we will be talking with you and to you about. One of them, the very exciting news, and it may actually be happening right now for all I know. I might have an email someplace. Tune in. The Phil Henry, the dedicated tune-in channel for the Phil Henry Show is going to be available to you, if not already, very, very shortly. Now, this is something that I'd like you to spread the word on. Go all over town. Drop hints on people. Put it up in the laundromat. I don't care what. No, actually, it's a way for you to listen to the show live. We're going to be telling you all about it on our website as well. That's TuneIn, the Phil Henry, the dedicated Phil Henry channel on TuneIn, so you can listen to our show live, that's for sure. And then, of course, any other areas of interest that we will put up, we will tell you all about that. Going to be on vacation next week, but we will be having video events on Phil TV and HD throughout the week. So watch our homepage for when that occurs. And I would like to do, as early as possibly tomorrow night, a free video cast on a Ustream. But we'll see whether or not we're able to get that done, man. But you're talking to them?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to people on Ustream and everything.
Well, no, all we got to do is direct our feed to it. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So that's tomorrow night. And then the forthcoming week, don't forget our gift subscriptions for Christmas. Wash away my troubles, wash away my pain.